of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC soccer.
Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. I'm Aaron Lingley, and as always, I'm joined by the Alliance Council President, the Gorilla FC President, and the Communications Director for the Independent Supporters Council, Cameron Collins.
Hey,
hello, my friend.
What's up? What's up?
How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm here in quarantine on day two of having COVID. COVID's not gone, people. I mean, I knew that, but there's as many people dying of COVID right now as the other three largest diseases that are spread, like, I don't know, mumps, measles, polio, those types of things combined. So be careful, folks. If you got COVID, stay home, please, and don't go infect the rest of us.
It's funny. The weather's gotten nicer, and typically you'd think, based on our past experience with the peak COVID, but like the summer, the nicer weather is like, that's when the decline started, right? Mm-hmm. And you're not the only person. You're probably the fifth person. Most of those are people that aren't play pub league that have gotten COVID recently.
Yeah. I mean, I know where I got it.
Someone I worked at.
I'm
not even at work.
I had to get it on the light rail. I don't know where else I would have sat long enough with another person. I mean, I did some podcast interviews. You know, I had to work Superhawks, but in all those instances, I was sitting next to like one specific person for that amount of time, and none of those people are sick. So who knows? Maybe they were just carriers, but, you know, always.
At this point, it's a futile effort to try to figure it out.
Yeah, and it's always a concern since I'm immunocompromised, but I got the Paxlovid. So I'm on the mend. I feel significantly better after I've now taken two doses. I'll take my third here in a few minutes, Paxlovid. And it's, you know, it works on viral infections. And I'll be good for Saturday. I'm, based on the timeline, I will have definitely tested negative by Saturday in time for the 50-year anniversary match.
Yeah, that's coming up. Well, cheers to your health.
Oh, yeah.
I have myself a Rainier. Oh, yeah. I know you're probably not drinking.
No.
Shouldn't
I just
be.
Have a Liquid Death that I'm going to open first because it's not beer. Oh, did you just open that? Nice. How's it taste?
Well, like Rainier.
I just didn't want to disrespect Rainier by having it go second when that's a good sound there from the
Liquid Death. That was a good one. Hopefully
we'll be in the stadium next year. I'm going to be broke if they bring Liquid Death in the stadium because I'm just going to have an IV directly into my blood the whole game. It feels so good on my throat, you know, coughing all the time from COVID and all that. It's just refreshing. How are you doing, my friend? How's daddy life?
I'm on, thank you for asking. This is the start of my second week of my second stint of new baby leave.
Yeah.
So I haven't been at work for a week and now 2 days. And that is fantastic. Just been home playing girl dad. My daughters yesterday was both kids, and that was exhausting. Gracie does daycare 4 days a week. And then Randy went into the office downtown today and enjoyed the Seattle commute while I was just home with little baby Margot. And spit up on, but much rather get spit up on all day if I had the opportunity than not. So, other than that, but I'm fucking exhausted. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's been 4 months. Almost exactly 4 months. And yet to get 5 hours straight of sleep. It's about 5 hours. That's our.
I slept 5 hours this afternoon with COVID as my body sweat through my sheets and I burned off everything. I got more sleep than you have in a full night.
Yeah, well, yours is temporary. Mine's 18
That's
years.
That's true.
I'm going to lose sleep for like other reasons when they're older. And like, anyway, but healthy. So that's good. And Pub League, we won. We didn't lose a match this week in Pub League. And I scored my first Pub League goal ever.
Oh, right in, right on Nicholas Biela.
Yes, that was my 15th hat trick on him. No, he's on my team.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's my coach.
He's a player coach.
Yeah.
How do people want to play as a team? I feel like soccer is a game of quick interactions where you have to give directions quickly, respond quickly, and make moves in a way that makes sure the other team is accounted for immediately. And Nick is very verbose with words. How do you deal with a coach that's so verbose that they've already scored on you by the time you have the direction?
Good one. It's funny enough, he's our keeper, like pretty much predominantly now. Usually he's like half one of the two games, but anyway, yeah, the one that gives out directions the most, and it's Nick. But it's Pub League though, so we aren't that serious. Like we are, but some of the commentary is actually welcome and hilarious in our Pub League setting. So good one, but I countered with a compliment to our good friend Nick. Yeah, but a good week personally. But yeah, we're recording. It's Tuesday, the 11th of June, in between Sporting KC and the Minnesota United match at home, 50th anniversary match, as you mentioned. And we lost 2-1 in Kansas City. I'm not actually surprised, but we weren't, because it's KC. Like, I think that's what Nick and I were talking about. It's like, you can't really predict. They're kind of like the rival that's not a rival, right? Those matches are their own space and time. Nothing else matters. Or like, you know what I mean? Like, it always just feels like
usually in our favor. Just though, with the f- beat each with other the few badly. Exceptions, usually in our favor.
Yeah, well, last year, 4-0, right?
I mean, this and year they've lost 7 straight games, and they had 1-9, and
they're so terrible. They're going to probably lose the next 7.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this fucking match had to be us, because whenever we play against Peter Herpes, I feel like
I hate that guy.
It's always an annoying match, whether regardless of the outcome, yeah. Too.
Obviously, I don't know Vermees as a person, but as a coach, I despise him. The way he plays is thug ball. They just come up and mug you. Is that inappropriate? I feel like that's maybe there's some, even though that's in our popular vernacular, maybe there's some racial undertones from the 80s that have brought that into now. Regardless, I won't say that again, I guess, but regardless, the way that they play, I don't like. And he's also the reason why the games are called the way they're called, because he pushes heavily on the competition committee to make sure that he's allowed to have his players just hack you and not get bad fouls. But we're getting too much into the match, I think. Let's.
He's on the competition committee?
No, he talks to them. He's one of the coaches that advocates. Oh. San Jose's old coach was the same. Advocates for the game to be a more violent game than in other parts of the world. But yeah.
You know, it's funny. We had more fouls.
Yeah.
By 3. But they had 3 yellow cards.
But we got scuttlebutt. So we should get to that before. I mean, some of it will probably be related before we go too much into that. That match, which has me believing that anyone that thinks the Sounders are going to turn this around are crazy, unless they make serious changes. But we'll get to that.
We will get to that, and you will think I'm crazy. Yeah. But yeah, we should start with some scuttlebutt, and we'll start with our Discord.
Cool.
Dan the Bastard. How did the Sounders get their self-scouting so wrong? Brian even said today, he posted that today, He thinks the team is better than their record. And should we trust the owner, GM, and coach to fix it? Eventually.
Can you explain to me that I don't see the two things as connected. Can you explain the connection there? What you think's going on in his head? Self-scouting versus...
How do you mean?
Versus we're playing... We are better than we are playing.
I think he's saying, like, how, in his opinion, are the self-assessment, the self-identity of the club, like, that's how I'm reading it.
Yeah.
It's like, even Brian even said today he thinks the team is better than their record. So they're looking internally saying, oh, we're better than this. And he's saying, I disagree with that. How are they getting it so wrong? Do you believe that the team is better than their record?
They're clearly right now better than their record. I don't know how anyone can think otherwise. Like,
maybe Dan the Bastard disagrees.
The talent on the field, I mean, everyone's playing. It's like
talent not on the field, I think, is more
well, but that's a different kind of self-assessment. Adrian Hanauer has said to me before, the number one reason teams don't win is they don't have their starters on the field. And you look at the stats, and that's actually correct. The more games you have with your starting 11,
I wouldn't need to be told. I think that's just logical. That's why you have them as your best players,
most
right?
likely
to be on the field. Because
but for a lot of teams, you can plug people in, and under Garth, we could plug people in. We don't have that ability anymore. We don't have the next person to step up in the same way. I don't think we're as reliant on a superstar as we were back then. I feel like this is similar to the Mariners, though, where you bring in a series of people, and maybe this is the wrong time to talk about the Mariners because they are on fire right now.
I don't know the outcome tonight.
I won't tell you tonight. But they're on fire right now. Coming into today, there are 5.5 games in first place. You know, walk-off grand slam last night. And if they had a bat, if they had a Pedro de la Vega, they'd be the best team in baseball. But instead, they didn't sign any bats, and they're best in the West, but in the middle in terms of overall. I think we're ninth in the power rankings on ESPN now. But I see... Much like the Mariners have 5 or 6 players having career lows in batting average, something's wrong with Christian. He's not the same player. Alex, we know what's wrong with him because we saw it last year. He doesn't have Christian, and he's elevated when Christian is in front of him. Jordan, something's wrong with him. Maybe he's come over the hump because we've seen him score the last few weeks.
Yeah.
But this season, he's not been the player he has been. You know, Leo Chu, obviously something's wrong with him, whether it's his attitude, injuries, what. There's something wrong there. Raul, I think, is the only person in the front six that I've seen perform up to his capabilities. He just has no one to get him the ball. And then in the back, yeah. I mean, Yamar is having a rough year. Reagan is having a hit or miss year. Nuhu is having a rough year. I mean, everyone seems to be playing below their potential. And the question is why? Is it because they're washed? That might be true with some of them. Is it because they're still suffering? I mean, I think it was Coach Viewing, I'm not 100% on that, who in either the pre- or post-game show said that he thinks that there is something up with Christian still, and he's still suffering from the injury last year, which led to him having migraines and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. So that could totally be true. I mean, I got migraines in 2020, and I'm still not over... I'm still not how I was before that. So that could...
It's your brain. Yeah,
that could be a real concern. So I don't think it's a self-assessment issue because you're expecting everyone to be pretty much... be their average. Maybe a little down, a little up, but be their average. And you and I talked about it before the season. The 11 people we're putting on the field without DePedro de la Vega is good enough to win. There's a reason why with Pedro we were considered to be the first team in the West by every single major... I mean, first team in the league. We were expected to win the Supporters' Shield by every single major pundit except for like one or two.
Yeah. I really don't really have much else to say because that's pretty much what I was going to say. Even what Coach Pete Viewing said when you mentioned that he's not looking the same, I immediately thought of... You know, last season.
Now, who's at fault was the second half of that question. What do you think on that?
I think the second is like, should we trust our leader,
right?
Like
but owner, but GM, that is essentially coach. Asking who's at fault.
I didn't say that, who is at fault.
Yeah, if you don't trust them, then they're at fault.
Fair enough. Yes is my short answer. I believe we can trust our front office because this. I mean, we're in 10th place, and this is what feels like the lowest of the lows. And we're I'm sure, you know, our
3 points above the Siggy line with three
frustrations.
Left.
Yeah, so I feel like that what we're complaining about is not falling on deaf ears.
No,
they've responded. They communicate.
Today, Brian
to
talked a lot about the it. Public. Brian even said it was fair for people to talk about him losing his job.
There you go. So I don't. Well, I would be concerned as if they're saying everything is fine. You know,
which like they were the kind of. Everything's on fire. They were kind of up until recently. They weren't. They were just saying, "Yeah, we'll right the ship." Now they've clearly started sounding the alarm internally in a way that they hadn't before. And mind you, we are 3 points out of the playoffs, behind Portland, with a game in hand. We'd have to win by 2 goals to pass them in the goal differential, but. You know, it's we're right there still. Now, I don't think we're winning the Sporter Shield this year, but
Yeah, so that's not happening. But like, I agreed, like, we put them as I think we predicted we were on the Designated Players podcast. We did say they'd be second because they average finishing second. But we were pretty much talking them up like they're going to be the best team in the league. We talked about. What we thought was great depth, with really the only like maybe concerns being the fullback.
I mean,
position,
we're 12 you know? Points back of second right now, and you make a
margin.
That's not impossible. You can make a run.
Yeah, so I'm not crazy, you know, but I think what's been frustrating is that we a lot of those excuses that maybe they were giving, and even the optimism excuses I had. For first start the start of the season throughout this until now was that like that you can't have a quality team or consistent team that has erratic lineups, and we were having erratic lineups because of injuries and whatnot, right? And shuffling.
But now
and
we have the same lineup.
But now we've had like the same lineup for a while, and you can see that is the inability to finish. Or really threaten the goal on any consistent basis? Is that because of things being erratic, or is there an underlying issue? And the underlying issue is becoming it's apparent that there is one. We don't really maybe can't quite put our head on the cause of it, but the effect is we can't score fucking goals. Our defense hasn't been that terrible.
No, but they
you
have.
Know, we're not the worst defensive team.
They've allowed 21
to
goals.
Our standards.
To our standards, you're right.
To our standards. Right, Reagan has been a player of peaks and valleys, and there's nothing that's like in between that's consistent. He's had stretches where he's looked absolutely dominant, absolutely terrible, absolutely average.
I mean, we're fifth,
so and right now he's
fifth in goals against. So, not that's,
yeah. So he's just been all over the place. So I think that's what makes maybe the gaffes a little bit more glaring. But then you have Stephen Fry not stopping.
Oh, yeah, that was.
A couple goals this season that he should have.
That goal, we'll get to it. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
But
so, like,
but can you, who do you trust?
I think we're seeing players taking a step
down.
But
who do you trust or not trust?
I mean, I trust who we have.
No, but coaches.
I trust who we
have. The question was owners, GM, or coaches.
Oh. Maybe. I want to say Weibel, only because I'm. Maybe. Depth of coaching, you know, that particularly that one coach, like having a Pineda that we've talked about before, and I tweeted your pretty much answered how I believed you would have answered Nick's question last week.
Bring Pineda back,
and I forget what it was, but
put him in Freddie Juarez's position. That's what we need. Is we need
we were talking about that, but that's what we were talking about was we need someone to be the course corrector for Brian.
Yep.
And be like, this needs to happen.
And it's
I know you want
it's not
this,
working with Freddie.
But forcing the square in the round hole. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And clearly if that's all accurate.
Right.
I don't you said you've sat close and you've heard comments, and that's kind of what you've gathered from that. And what you're obviously closer to the fire than I am, so you can feel the heat.
So for me, I don't think the question of trusting ownership is a reasonable one. I think people expect stuff they shouldn't expect from ownership. This isn't a Mariners situation where they promise to spend big and then instead cut payroll like a bunch of jerks.
Budget, yeah.
Like, this is a situation where they've said consistently, and Garth has said this, and a lot of people, we've talked about it, but people don't read between the lines, probably because Garth is a lawyer and I speak that legal language, but he's basically saying, they're not going to give us the money for a suit. We're never going to get Messi. We're never going to get Giroud. We're never going to get a player like that. We have to find a slightly lesser quality DP that's a step back, but not like a huge step back, and we'll pay half as much. And with that money, that'll give us more money to spend maybe on some other nice players to go around them. We are never going to outspend Atlanta, New York, LA, some of these other teams. And
I guess,
and so with ownership, it's the same.
Quick counter argument.
So they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
We don't have Joe Roth anymore. We don't have a multi-millionaire. Like, we just have Adrian Hanauer. I mean, he's rich, but he's not that rich.
I mean, well, we also have, don't we have like 11 other owners?
Right, but they're all Microsoft people. They're rich, but they're not Joe Roth rich. Joe Roth was...
But when you combine all these...
They're not worth... We do have one. Chi-Chu is worth more than everyone else combined. And worth more than Joe Roth. But he's a minority owner. Unless his son suddenly were like, I want to see the Mariners win the championship. I mean, Sounders win the championship. He's not just going to go invest. He's a smart businessman. He's going to invest in a way where he invests based upon his percentage. Even with all those people, we're not outspending those other teams. And we don't have any plans to.
Yeah.
So if people are thinking we're going to go out and sign someone, Dempsey was the biggest signing we will ever have in terms of size and impact pop culturally, and I would never expect that ever again. We're going to sign some Nico Ladero-style nobody that you've never heard of who's then going to dominate the league for years. And that's probably Pedro de la Vega.
Probably. Yeah, I think one little... side argument is, like, I mean, DPs only cost the cap, I forget, what is it, 1 point?
Yeah, it's just...
What does a DP cost?
We don't have a DP spot open, though.
So I'm just saying, in general, like, well, we can make that happen.
If we have enough TAM, potentially, but...
But that, with that extra money that you can spend, you can't really... You're capped everywhere else. I think that argument goes more towards getting a quality player under a valued and a TAM level, and you can use that money elsewhere. But if you could just use your funny money for the extra cost of a DP, with your funny money being money that rich people can throw around.
Yeah, but that's our funny money, and that just going like, at we're it. There's real dollars behind that. We're talking about 10. They're not going to spend that. They're just not.
I'm not going to spend $10 or $20 million on
the Sounders ownership
that
is,
could pay that back in jersey
it
sales.
It won't. We don't sell that many jerseys. This isn't baseball. Sounders ownership.
We could.
We don't. We never have.
I know we don't.
Only one.
I'm saying if you sign that player.
I mean, we signed that player. We signed Dempsey.
I mean, we
signed De La Vega.
That worked
De
well.
La Vega is the sixth highest jersey sale this year in the MLS. We've only sold enough jerseys to get a third kit once in our existence. One time, if we even met that threshold, and
I'm completely speaking in hypothetical, but we've never been close.
And they're not gonna. They've never taken a dime out of the team. Sure, their value goes up because it's a hypothetical value. So if they sell the team in the future, they've made a ton of money. So Joe Roth probably made a ton of money. Although he lost a ton of money on what he could have made, that potential, because he held off for a number of months to let us put together a local team, because he was going to sell to a local team of buyers, because he was going to sell to a Southern California conglomerate, you know, where they rich people, hedge fund. And then we would not have been majority owned by a local group. We would have been majority owned by a hedge fund who just cares about making money. So... at that point, if we had a hedge fund, I would say, throw money into it. But we don't. They're real people who have real budgets, and they're not going to spend that money. We don't have an Arthur Blank. We just don't. And that's the reality of it. This is what it is to be a Seattle sports fan. This isn't football, where your entire salary cap is paid for by TV money. You know, this isn't baseball, where you've bilked us for millions and millions of dollars for 20 years and refused to put a high quality product out there. You're putting quality product. We don't have the ownership to do that. And until we get bought out by the Saudis or something, which will piss a lot of people off, we're not going to. So we just got to be okay with being sixth, seventh in the league and spending. So if you want to blame ownership, you can blame them. That's it. Jury's out for me on Weibel. We haven't seen him get to make his impact because De La Vega hasn't been able to play, and I blame coaching for that. They brought him back too soon, and he got re-hurt, which is why they're not bringing him back too soon now, which is why he has to have 2 full weeks of training before he comes back, is what Spetzer said today. So he will not be playing until...
Where are we at right now in
this
that?
This is week table. One. So potentially he will be available if everything goes as needed, not this coming weekend, but next weekend. So,
against Houston. Well, I guess that's midweek, so it's probably Dallas.
So for me, in honor of who to blame, I say or who to trust, I'll say who not to trust. Coaches 1, Weibel 2, ownership 3. Just because ownership, while not making clear to us directly, they've made clear through our GMs that that's the case. I wish Weibel would speak more. I have no idea what his overall plan is, and I've been in several meetings where I've got to ask him face-to-face these questions, and I still don't know. I don't know if that's my fault for not seeing it or his fault for he doesn't like to talk. I mean, about this kind of stuff.
He's been vocal about that.
Yeah, he literally has. So, I think that's where I'm at on it.
Well, let's move to the next one. Get something from... you posted some stuff. You did something on Twitter.
This person said, "What are you doing to facilitate the buying of the rain?" I'm assuming this lovely is asking about the Sounders and not us personally. Because I haven't done much.
Yeah, I'm busy.
I've been having discussions with. I can't.
Hey, you know what though? Actually, we will buy the rain if enough of you subscribe to our Patreon. Join the supporter section. Yeah,
it's only $1.47. I promise
I will buy the rain. $1.74.
Oh, duh. I don't know, because it's not...
Because they wouldn't let me do 74 cents. It's too cheap. Because this is just to help us out, just to help support the show.
I'm telling you, put that 1974 on there. I know we got some rich people out there that want to give us money to help support hosting and all that.
So we'll have our supporter section and our club section.
Come visit me in the club section where I sit. So Lovely asked this question. I'm assuming she means the Sounders and not us personally. If she means us personally, I can tell you my involvement of it is to the extent that if and when the sale is finalized, I have been in discussions with Rain supporter groups about how to facilitate an alliance council type setup for them so that they have a fan government as well. And talked about the many different iterations that can take. I think I'm sold on where I am on that. So we want to ensure that there is a democracy and sports element in the ownership of the Rain when and if the Sounders own them. So that'll be exciting. Other than that, I don't have any role in it. Obviously, the Sounders are deep in it. It's a long, hard process, and it's hurt the Rain because of it. That's why they're so bad this year, because rosters were frozen, because assets had to be accounted for, and they lost all their good players because they couldn't re-sign them.
Oh, shit.
So that's why everyone left. So.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So that's what I'll say on that. But go subscribe to the Patreon, $1.74. And I think if... 100,000 of you? No, wait. 17 million of you go subscribe. Maybe 100 million. We will buy the rain.
So every listener, yeah, right?
Yeah. Barney Smith, while you open that. Yeah. Barney Smith, wow. Different Barney Smith than the one I knew. My dad's best friend was Barney Smith. So shout out to you for having his same name.
You've known two Barney Smiths?
Yeah, the other Barney sadly has passed away years ago. But Pedro de la Vega, worth the wait? Are we happy with the quality minutes our kids are getting? Are we getting summer reinforcements? When is Schmetz in the hot seat? We'll take those because I think we've hit those. So, they're all related. Start with De La Vega.
So De La Vega. We've seen that he's worth the wait. We just haven't got to see a lot of
That's my big thing. People are blaming Weibel.
I've seen enough of him that I'd be like, damn, this is a good
Weibel
player.
Weibel did his job. And the only reason I can think people are playing Weibel, he's always hurt. He had a knee injury that he came back from, and then he hurt his hamstring. They were not the same injury.
Yeah, this is...
And then we rushed him.
This was in December when he hurt his hamstring.
And then we rushed him back from that, and he re-aggravated it. So, because we were losing. So, to me, that's on...
Anyway, I think he's definitely worth it.
And so I think that's on coaching. That's on training staff. That is not on Weibel. He's worth the wait. Look what he's done. If we have him the second half of the season, we're a guaranteed playoff team. Minutes that the kids are getting, I think...
I'm unhappy.
You want more, or you're unhappy they're getting the minutes?
I'm unhappy that we've needed them so much.
Craig Weibel has made clear that was going to be the case since he took over, that our kids were going to get far more minutes, that we were not going to be making another major signing in the offseason, that we were going to be relying on the youth.
I'd like a consistent back two of the midfield.
We have those when they're not hurt. It's Reagan and they don't play consistently, but they are consistently our starters. Reagan and Yamar.
Reagan. No, back to the midfield.
Oh, midfield. That's
Joao didn't start the season. Yeah, that's he's been pretty consistent.
The reason
lately,
we don't have the reason we don't have that is because if João Paulo is there, that determines who's going to be next to him. Right? Like if João Paulo is there, we know it's going to be Obed. If he's not, it's going to be Atencio with someone else.
Yeah, I would rather see some iteration of what everyone was talking about in February of what are we going to do with our midfield? We've had mostly kids because of injuries and rotation and João Paulo. But I'm happy that, and they've been good, but they are at most peaking at average MLS, talent level moments. Like they're not, and then they have kid moments too. We can't have two of them on the field right now. We can't have them. We need everyone healthy, of course, and we need our underlying issue fixed. We need to score some fucking goals, and the kids aren't going to do that. But I'm happy that they're getting minutes because we have a talented academy. We have a talented pipeline.
Yeah, Stuart Hawkins called up to the U.S.
That's
going to pay.
I do.
So that's awesome.
Yeah, and I do believe in their future, and I do love that. I feel like. We've just been pretty unlucky recently. And there's a lot more variables to where we're at right now and why they're playing. But,
Yep. Okay. Let's.
I'm moot about it.
I'll do a quick.
I'm happy.
We got to get through. We got a lot. So so this episode is going to be most.
Oh, shit.
It's going to be, we have like seven or eight more. So it's going to be mostly.
What am? Where is it? This is not from, is this from Facebook? Oh, okay. I said you had one on Twitter, and then you said that one. I was like, I don't remember.
Oh, you got
it.
We got a ton on Facebook. So in terms of the youth, I expected them. I think they've been fine. Obviously, we've seen a few times where it's been a little much for Cody Baker. We've seen Baker Whiting have trouble this last game. He's largely good, but he's been ineffective in a few games. There's moments that are just too much for them, but the only way they're going to get through those is to play them. Same thing we've seen with Reagan.
Yeah, you got to play through
them. So I think if we were winning, we wouldn't be thinking much about this. We would be happy with it.
Of course.
Summer reinforcements. I think we'll have one starter level signing, and that's it. I mean, we don't have much money in the cap. We obviously made some by trading Arriaga, and so I think that money will go to another TAM-ish signing. I don't know if it actually will be a TAM.
I was gonna say, yeah, kind of.
But
yeah,
but it has to be the right.
I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with that because I am happy with our roster.
Yeah, I'm okay with it too. I think people will be mad because they don't get it. But
where do you think that position will be? You don't think it's specific, just
striker,
defense, midfield, offense?
I think probably striker, yeah. Someone to play alongside or back and forth with Raul. Unless we think Jordan can play up there, but he's proven that he's better on the wide, you know, outside than he's up on the wing. Yes.
You were going to say wing, yeah. And he got COVID, yeah. Up.
I got COVID brain. He wants to be a nine. You know, I was talking to, it was in a like group. We were talking to Steve Zakuani and Lamar Nagel the other day. And I got to ask a question about how our bad home form, which I shared with you about how we're the one of the worst home teams in MLS over the last year, and last game proved it, and hopefully this next one will not. But
we weren't at home last game.
Last home game, I mean.
Oh,
I wasn't on last episode. We didn't get to discuss the last home game. But yeah, I think probably a striker. I could also see a winger coming in on the right side. If we think De La Vega is going to play on the left, and then we could move Christian back to DM.
With JP?
Yeah. That's where I think would be best for the team. Obviously, he prefers to play on the wing, but because that guarantees him a chance to make the national team as a sub and as a leader. I don't think it's his best position for the Sounders right now.
I agree with that.
So we'll do these. We'll do these next ones. Hot question style. When is Schmetzer in the hot seat? Go.
Where, do you know the Ziggy line?
Three games with three games left with 3 points.
I'm with that. I'd be butts,
yeah,
on fire.
I think he's in the hot seat now, but yeah, I think that's a firing point. I noticed that other people are now referencing the Ziggy line without calling it the Ziggy line. I was like, hey, I coined that the Ziggy line. So we've been talking about this for months. I'm glad that other Sounders outlets have picked up on what we've been laying down. Shout out to all of you.
Here on Sounders, yes. Scuttlebutt. Join our Patreon.
Are we going to change our tactics? Or are we going to keep going like we're going?
I think we're going to not change our tactics until De La Vega has played consistently, and that would be a point of probably firing Schmetzer or drastically changing how we play soccer if he's on the field and we're still not scoring.
Yeah, Schmetz said they're trying out new things in practice. If they have to, they will.
No, I mean, you always should be.
But we'll see. When do we move on from some of our veterans? That's a harder one for me because we already...
That's a hard one because, like...
Yeah. I think Fry, Christian.
I was going to say Fry.
Maybe Nuhu. I never view Nuhu as...
signed a, what, five-year contract?
Yeah, 5 years, and then we have like four years left with Jordan. Maybe we invested too much in our homegrown talent or our previous stars. I don't know.
See, they're not that old.
I know. They've just,
so
they're just
I don't,
both...
They're
they've
veterans,
both taken a step back.
When I hear that question, I hear that. I think they've taken a step back. That's temporary. Yeah. Maybe not Christian. That's worrisome, and I'd hate to.
Yeah, no, he's the heart and soul of the team, and we've seen the difference it makes when he's on the field and not. I mean, Nuhu's a veteran, and even though he's like,
yeah. So when I hear that question, though, I don't think like, yeah, veteran in terms of length with team. It's more like age. Like they're declining, and like Ladero
situation.
So I think
it's
we held
Fry
on to him
and
long.
Rui Diaz are the two.
Yeah,
I like Fry. I could see.
I don't see either next year.
Yeah. Unless Ruiz is willing to take a huge pay cut. Yeah, I don't see either next year. I mean, Fry's under contract.
I don't see either.
But, I mean, I think it's Andy's time. Here's a big one. Are we too nice in the Northwest?
I wouldn't say we're nice. We're just not aggressive.
Yeah, we're passive aggressive. I mean...
Yeah, we're past. We're definitely not nice people. We're judgy. We can be very judgy people.
As sports fans, I think there's times where we are too nice. We love it when we love paying for our favorites to stick around and overpaying for them when we should probably move on mm-hmm. earlier. But I think the Sounders fans have jumped that shark and are on the other side of it now and are like, cut them all. Let's start over.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like part of it is we do have a lot to do in our region as not being like aggressive sports fans. That is like Philly or something. So I feel like if my team's not doing well, I just turn them off, like, and focus on something else. And if that's going for a walk or going out in the water, like, I don't know. Maybe that's it. If I lived in a sprawling flatland, I would be and only had a few things I could focus on, and one of them being sports, and they were terrible. I'd be an angry person.
Yeah, I will say.
I don't find myself to be a very angry person living
here.
Yeah,
the older I get, the less angry I am about most things. I will say that when a perceived injustice happens, I respond vociferously, oversized response. And there's time, like, people here will like bump into you and not say sorry. And that bugs the shit out of me because I'm not a passive aggressive Seattleite anymore. I lived in California. So someone bumped me once, like straight up just walked right into me and then just kept walking. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And they turned around and looked at me. I said, I used to live in California. I'm not passive aggressive. I'm just aggressive. Like, I have no time.
You said that?
Because they are.
Did you think a camera was on you? Like, did you turn to the camera and say
no,
that?
No, they like the way they responded to me. They didn't their face. It was a response to their face. Like, they were shocked that I responded to them that way because they're used to treating people like shit and having nothing happen. Because we live in Seattle and no one steps up and does anything about it. And I'm the one to be like, fuck you. No. People get uncomfortable when you do it, though.
I don't find Californians to be aggressive.
They won't put up with bullshit like we will. They are laid back, but they won't put up with bullshit. We'll sit there and let the bullshit happen.
Maybe I just don't piss people off.
Oh, I'm just saying in general, Seattleites and Northwest people will let it happen and then just go complain about it afterwards. Like, tell it to the person's face so they stop doing it. Come on. All right, we got a bunch more, but we're going to take one from each. We're going to start with Liana. Excuse me, Liana. I know you, and I still have COVID brain, so that was not on purpose. And then we're going to go to Douglas Wacker, because his, I think, is a little more in-depth. But first, Liana asks about the celebrating the 50th anniversary and how it just feels off because of the way we're playing. I think I agree with that.
That does suck. That just sucks.
Like, imagine if we were in first place, this would be such an awesome.
The expectations of this season, regardless of what year this club has been around, or what year it is, right? Regardless of the 50th or 15th season we should be playing well. So the excitement was, this is going to be the 50th season. We might be the best team in the league. It's going to be awesome. Storybook. And yeah, it's almost just like it's almost been maybe part of this whole mess is it's been a little bit of a distraction.
Yeah,
that's for 50th, you know, with everything going on. It's not like the coaches or the players are involved. Well, PR stuff.
I think we
be a little bit more. It's not like they're doing a lot, but
yeah, I'm not worried about the players. I think in terms of perception, though, the team started off on the wrong foot. They tried to make the 50-year anniversary gifts that came with the season ticket, like, really cool. And then it just didn't work out the way they wanted. Some of the people were complaining about the quality. It was all supposed to come inside this cool bag, and they weren't, the company they hired didn't pack them. And it left people with a sour taste from the beginning, and the way they handled the wooden box and
I didn't know that.
All that kind of stuff that, like, it made it like you had to say whether or not you wanted to buy the wooden box for all your stuff. And then if you said you did later, when it was time to purchase it, it said, oh, do you want to buy another wooden box? And so in my head, it was like, oh, okay, well then, or whatever the language was, it didn't make clear you had to buy it then. And it wasn't just me. There was like 8 people in the Alliance Council alone and several people outside who had the same issue. Sounders credit, you know, talking to Hugh, team president, talking to other people, they jumped on that immediately and made it available to purchase again for people. You know, they've done things to correct all these things. In fact, they're in the middle, you know, they had sent out things to have people come in and give surveys about the team. What can they do to refresh it? Does it feel stale? What do you value? What kind of relationships do you want with, your ticket rep, that kind of stuff. They've had those questions. We've had that. We got to and take part of it as the Alliance Council internally. They had fans come in and do that, season ticket holders. They've now sent out surveys to all sorts of people to give feedback on that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I think it's a weird time where things just get stale because it's been, what, 15 years. So it's time to constantly reinvent, rethink. They have to do that anyway with Hugh coming in. You have a new team president who has different ideas. And it just happens to coincide with our 50th and, you know, one of our worst years in a long time since Siggy was here, essentially. So, yeah, it's been, I think it's been rough all around. Credit to the Sounders for reaching out to the fan base in a meaningful way and trying to fix that. But I think the only thing that's going to really make a difference now is you got to have winning on the field, because if the Mariners keep what they're doing, the Sounders become irrelevant. Because everyone's going to be watching the Mariners.
That's true. I didn't think about that. I mean, I have DVR. I'll watch
both. I mean, we'll watch the Sounders, right? But where are you going to spend your money? You're wearing a Mariners hat right now. Where are you going to spend your money? You're going to buy a new Mariners hat, or are you going to go buy the 50th anniversary Sounders Letterman jacket that costs $259 or whatever it is?
To be fair, Mariners hats are stitched to my scalp, so I'm always wearing a Mariners hat.
I am most of the time.
Regardless. Mariners, I think, even at Sounders games, I'm wearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, next one.
Notable 50 Sounders of the last 50 years. There's some I can't talk about it. Something very cool is happening.
We should just do a 50th anniversary, we'll do it. Special episode.
Let's each shout out one player that you wanna notify. You wanna notice people to notice. COVID brain. People you think you're notable.
Wow. Jeez.
It could be current Sounder, or you know MLS. It doesn't need to be old time.
I'm going to say Marcus Hanneman. Mm-hmm. Because the kind of rebirth of Sounders fervor in this city started in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. True.
After the 70s, when they were pretty much the hot ticket in town.
Yeah, pre-Sonics. Pre-Sonics,
pre-Mariners,
pre-Seahawks. All there was Seattle U basketball and Sounders.
But yeah, and so, you know, that was it A-League at the time, and then it turned into, yeah.
USISL, A League, USL.
He was on the Sounders, and because of his play, being a local, pretty much done nothing in soccer, at 19 years old or something like that, they had like given up like a total of like 17 goals in the entire season or something like that in his first year with Alan Hinton coaching. And I think that rebirth of Sounders love, I mean, without that Sounders, we wouldn't have our current Sounders. Agreed. And without players like Marcus Hanneman and credit to Alan Hinton, you know, bridging the gap and coaching.
I mean, he bought the team and revived it, right?
And bringing that history. Yeah, yeah. So, but, I mean, to have pretty much your star player be your goalkeeper. And he's a badass dude. He's awesome. I'm glad he's a Sounder. So, He's in my top 50 to answer that question.
Nice.
Or at least.
I'm going with Tony.
One I want to highlight.
Tony Chersky, my 8th grade English teacher, goalie for the Sounders.
Was he really your 8th grade?
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
No shit. Okay.
He he is the goalie who didn't hear the
player. We both said goalkeepers.
He's deaf in one ear, and he didn't hear the guy coming up from behind him, and he rolled the ball out, and he stole it and kicked it in to lose the soccer bowl.
Oh, it's because he was deaf?
Yeah.
Okay.
In that ear, not in the other ear. He can hear fine in the other ear, but, you know, so he didn't hear the guy running up behind
him. Yeah, no.
So, but I got to go Tony Chersky. You know, he's, you know what? We should get him on the podcast sometime. He is my, my 8th grade English teacher. Very nice to me. I didn't know this. I was a very shy child, and my mom would have conversations with him. Anytime I was going to be called on in class, he would let her know so she could prep me so I would be ready for it. Which is, I think, worked well because by the time I was in high school, you know, I could talk anytime. But I was so shy at that time that I was afraid to talk in class.
And now in your 40s, you don't stop talking.
Yeah, I know. I still hate public speaking, but I do it.
Yeah, it's like all you do. And then at home, you turn on a microphone.
That's true. We did have one on Twitter that I want to make sure to look at because it's from Mikey Six Strings, who we love. 2 years ago, I said that every change the Sounders have made from front office to coaching to players has been a step down. Replacements have not been equal to better than the person they replace. When viewed one for one, it's not a big deal, but cumulatively it's taken a toll. Couple that with the core guys aging and not being as good as post-injury and gestures at everything Sounders, here we are now. Even now, are the kids going to be as good or better than the star players were in their prime? I'm not seeing it. I mean, you were never going to get someone as good as Garth to replace Garth, right? Like, but we didn't know that when we got Garth.
I don't know about that. Do you know every human being on Earth?
No, but we were not going to, because we didn't know Garth was that good when we got him. We knew he was good, we were not going to pay enough to get someone of that quality. It wasn't
Look at Atlanta this year. He had to fire Pineda.
I mean, that's not his team, though. This is only his second year, and he's not the GM. He's the CEO. But
I like my answer or my retort. But.
We were not going to get someone better than Garth because we weren't going to pay for it. We needed to find someone who had the potential to be a Garth. To be a Garth.
Wow. It's funny. Your COVID brain is, your correction is still wrong consistently.
Like, to be a Garth.
You go to correct yourself and it's a new fuck up. And then you just give up. There's no third attempt.
It's to be a. We need someone who has the potential to be a Garth. Weibel could be that. You know what I mean? Like, Weibel could be that. We haven't seen it yet. If he brings in another great player that has an impact, not the level of De La Vega, but closer to the level that De La Vega will have. I mean, I think this whole conversation changes.
This conversation is done. I mean, I'm confident in Weibel if De La Vega's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
agreed.
That he's on. Actually, there. I want to read. We'll end with this bit of scuttlebutt. It's an article from MLS, but he's on the imagery of. There's only like six other players. The article is what your MLS club needs to fix this summer. So it goes to every single club. Plenty of players available to put in their graphic. There's four total players. He's one of them. He's played like 90 total minutes. So,
yep.
Which, I mean,
if you think about it, we're adding a DP in the summer. Everyone's like, don't say De La Vega's the DP. No, he literally is the DP that we need. Literally. He just hasn't been on the field.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's almost no difference. It's now he's just more familiar with his surroundings than he would
be. I do want to say to the youth question, are the youth going to turn into our previous superstars? No, because they're not superstars. They are.
That's not why we're growing them.
Yeah, we're growing them to be starters, MLS starters. Mm-hmm. Now, can Atencio become a JP? Yes. Can a Reed Baker Whiting become an impact player? Yes, but I don't think, except for maybe Atencio now, they didn't expect this out of him before because Leyva was ahead of him. I don't think they expect them to become that. I do think they expect our young guy, COVID brain, who plays next to JP, Obed, to become that. but not for us. He's going to start showing off, and then we're going to sell him to a team in Europe that's he will be for them. So the youth are meant to be.
I've never expected. Yeah. You sign the big name, yeah. And you get absolutely phenomenally lucky if.
I mean, Christian. We're lucky to get Christian. We're lucky he fell to us, and we traded. I think we traded up, but he still fell.
Like, in a weird way, he was basically academy because we could watch him play every week.
And you do,
locally here. But so,
let's.
So I want to. Can I read? I want to read this our snippet from the MLS.
Oh, you want to read more? Okay,
we'll take our break. Yeah. So this is Scuttlebutt coming from MLSsoccer.com to us. This comes after the San Jose Earthquakes anecdote, or not anecdote, little paragraph. So that's why it starts off like this. So this is what the Seattle Sounders need to fix this summer. While Lucci potentially gives his team more of a license to control the ball, so San Jose, Brian Schmetzer might benefit from encouraging his team to be more direct in the attack. Based on Opta's direct speed metric, the Sounders are the 10th most ponderous attacking team in MLS. Without a true solo chance creator and without the healthy in-prime DPs to create those chances together, Seattle would benefit from more opportunities to attack in space. Ponderous might be the best description of the season. I agree with that. I mean, this is an in-depth piece, right? It's a paragraph. And I think it pretty much encapsulates, without giving reasons or excuses why things are happening, what our main issue is right now. We need to fix the fact that we are a ponderous attacking team. We're fine everywhere else. And then we get into that third, and then we just kind of trip over ourselves.
That's perfect.
The league in corners, or close to it. I think we're second right now. But, okay, so we're not getting the ball in the box. We're getting it down there, and then it's getting – our crosses are getting deflected. That's how I read that. And
that's a perfect segue into MLS power rankings going into this week had us at 14th. You know, higher than we maybe expected, but probably right. The Sounders are good, but that doesn't matter if they keep shooting themselves in the foot agenda. Picked up another data point when they conceded an equalizer to RSL 9 minutes into stoppage time. And then we did it again. So it's going to be the same paragraph where they also had KC last place going into this week. So last weekend. So we don't. So we lost to the worst team in the MLS by again shooting ourselves in the foot, which makes us let's go to KC. Let's take a quick break. I'm going to run in the other room while we take a break, and we'll be back. And we're back from our break. Shout out to Pagliacci's Pizza, who's keeping me fed tonight. Another big local eatery who's got good pizza using the amazing Good Planet Foods cheese, based out of Bellevue, vegan cheese. And also, I want to tell you a funny story. You know how I'm real COVID cautious, right? I've told you about how I wipe down my grocery still and stuff like that.
And shower like 2 or 3 times a day, yeah.
Yep. I'm still like washing my hands and wiping out stuff down when I'm the problem. I'm the COVID. I'm the one spreading it throughout my entire townhouse. And yet I'm like, oh no, must wash hands.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Now you get to let loose. That's funny.
Yeah. Maybe it'd be good. It'd get the phobia to go away.
I would love for the... No, that transition was going to be terrible. The phobia of scoring. It seems like the Sounders are scared to score.
I'd love for the Sounders. Yeah. Scorophobia.
Yeah, scorophobia. Well, SKC, we lost 2-1 in the Blue Cauldron, Kansas City. What was just your 30,000 foot on that match? Just good, bad. What was good, bad about it?
I mean,
did they play even well?
I mean, good. We looked so Yeah, we looked solid. We were fine for a while. I think it's annoying that we gave up the first goal. After taking the lead, we can't hold leads. It's always tough there. I wasn't happy with 1-1, but I would have been okay with it. I think overall, the change in the game was bringing in Weenus. I don't even if that's not even how you pronounce his name.
No, but that always sounds like the Weenus always changes the game, dude.
Yeah, but since it looks like Weenus and he changed, yeah, I'm gonna call.
But by the way, I forget Danny Jackson. So this was 2 games ago, I think. Maybe RSL. Is RSL's goalkeeper Beavers? I think it was.
It could be.
I think it was. Oh, it was when was that the match Raul hit the 50-yarder?
I don't know.
That's either way, time ago. Danny Jackson said flailing Beavers on.
Oh yeah, yeah.
On the broadcast. Yeah, yeah. I forget what match that was. So, Weenus just reminded me of flailing RSL, Beavers, and
yeah,
that means it's time for another beer. God damn it!
I mean, he came in and changed the game, right? He ran past Reed Baker Whiting, and he got that foul that got the, or no, who got the red? Was it Reed? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
He ran past him. Yeah, but he ran past him, and Reed stopped him. It deserved yellow. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't much contact, but he tugged on the jersey, and the guy knew that and fell. That's what they're going to do. That's a yellow every time, unless it's us with the ball, and then they never call that yellow. They haven't the last 3 home games. That's happened multiple times, and I think we've gotten 1 yellow out of 6. But clear yellow, and, you know, I think, Reed Baker was off on that end last goal, but Fry should have stopped that. The guy was in the corner. It was in a position that there's no way that goal should have gone in. So I'm unhappy with the performance because they had lost 7 in a row. They hadn't won in 9, and they were the worst team in soccer. But we have a tendency to do that against the worst team in soccer. So to me, this is one of the more disappointing losses of the season. But it's just how the season's gone.
I think this is probably, for me, the most disappointing match because I had plenty of rest, right? 10 days. It felt like we were on to something. Like we had our footing, at least. You know, we hadn't lost a match in like 4 weeks. I think, right? No. Well, we looked good. We looked good. Our form was, our form was positive, right? I think it was.
Jackson came away. Jackson took criticism a couple weeks ago for being positive. Like, we hadn't lost a game in 5 or something like that. And I was like, yeah, they're all draws except for like 1 win. People even were, I think it was on Reddit, someone was like, called Jackson a brown noser for the team, which means they don't listen to Jackson because he's torn them a new one several times in post game shows. To the point where he had to tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Yeah, you're right. I think there's a group of people that thought we were on the swing up, that we hadn't lost in 5 games, and then the last couple weeks have happened, and everything's changed. Now Schmetzer's saying it's okay to talk about firing me. That's what he said. He said he will not step down until he feels like he's lost the team. Now, I'm surprised he hasn't felt that way. But that's where we're at.
Well, stats aren't good. We had 1 shot on goal.
The goal was our only shot on goal?
Yeah. 394 passes to their 520, and their 520 had a nearly 90% completion, accuracy. To our 84. Those are typically the stats that we excel at. You know, possession. And historically, we can get shots on goal. We've had quality attackers. Efficient attacking. and we don't have efficient attacking right now.
That's a criticism I've heard about our team this year, though, is the, and it was last year, but as well, and we've seen it move more this direction, is though that we've moved towards complete possession play and not towards an attacking play. And maybe that's hurt us as a team. I'm not sure where I stand on that, because you look at what we did, say, in the CONCACAF Champions League final, where we were a possession team and we dominated.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've had talented teams in recent years be able to do both things. I think we've been able to see them be possessive when they need to be and be aggressive when they need to be. That's how we've come back and won matches before, or at least, you know, drawn matches before.
Honestly, we've had that. I don't feel like if we fall behind, I don't feel like we are going to come back. Nope. And if we take a lead, I don't feel like we're going to hold it. That's where I'm at right now. I hate being.
Oh, yeah. No. The only comfortable match was Montreal. Literally all season. Yeah. I can't think of one match that was even in the U.S. Open Cup.
Yeah. No, because we were behind in most of the U.S. Open Cup matches.
Yeah. We had to claw back. Those were the most exciting because we clawed back, right? We've had no match where we can just kick back. It's been, hell fucking yeah. All right, here we go. God fucking damn it.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's that's where the apathy starts kicking in. It's just like, I don't want to keep getting, you know, kicked in the face every fucking time I watch a Sounders match. So I'll just check the score, I guess. Like, that's, I can understand how people are thinking that and doing that.
I mean, all that being said, we lost to Kansas City. We can't change that, but we have Minnesota coming up. It's the 50th anniversary match. The entire Sounders ecosystem is going to be on celebrating the past. How do you see us matching up against Minnesota in that match?
Not very well. I mean, I have there's no reason to be confident about.
I mean, they're currently in third place with 29 points. That's 11 points ahead of us. Mm-hmm. They tied Dallas, so that's you know, Dallas is not good. They beat Minnesota. I mean, they beat KC 2-1. They did lose to LFC and tied Colorado, and they beat Portland down a man. So, and they beat Atlanta. So most of their wins lately, with the exception of Portland, who is in the playoff hunt, have been against bad teams. They lost to Houston.
Yeah, I don't care.
They keep getting those wins.
Right? I don't really care who the opponent is. I don't have confidence. They have no reason to be confident, other than the feel goods. I want us to be confident because it's the 50th anniversary match, and there's some pomp and circumstance. But maybe it's going to take getting past this. Even though I don't feel like the Sounders have done a good job marketing this match, maybe we just need to get past this, and now everyone can just start focusing on this season versus it being the 50th season. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if we lose to Kansas fucking City, there's a problem. And it doesn't matter who the opponent is. You need to find your power levels here and figure out what's going on. Just start making things click, because we have all the parts. We're just not putting them together. We're like Mercedes in F1. We should be a good car. What the fuck's going on? We have Lewis Hamilton.
And they're about to, they just called Russell to the stewards, so he might lose that third place.
Oh, no fucking way, really?
Grand Prix. I mean, if he does, that didn't Lewis finish fourth? So he'll just jump up behind him, hopefully, but... team points matter.
We haven't talked about F1 in a long time. That felt
that's
good.
So our previous meeting with the Loons was last year. 1-1 draw on August 27th. Yamar scored in the 17th minute, followed by an own goal in the 56th minute for the 1-1 draw. I hate that. Now, the only thing we have going our way is... Minnesota's thing. Last five games, and we're going from back to front, so from furthest away to present. Win, you should never, draw,
you shouldn't
loss.
Go back to front.
Well, we're doing it. Win, draw, loss, win, draw. So if they keep their current streak
it's a
alive,
diaper joke,
this is
Cameron,
a loss for them.
You didn't get it.
It's not just a diaper joke. It's a way for people not to get infection UTIs.
I know. That's why it's a diaper joke.
I mean, in my world, no one's wearing diapers, but
sorry, people that's still my only them. World right now. I literally have boxes of diapers to my right. Super absorbed.
I mean, my dad may be 83, but he's not wearing a diaper, so not even close.
Well,
anyway, win, draw, loss, fail. Win, draw. So their expected next game, based on their current pattern, is a loss. I would love that to be the case, but I have no faith that that will be the case.
Yeah.
And the last time we had a big party that I recall was to celebrate winning Champions League final against Portland, and they destroyed us. Remember, yeah. That was a game
that
was,
where I was gonna say, I don't think
one little
thing
goes differently. If one little thing went differently, we win that game, but that's not what happened. We got blown out. So,
God, that must have felt so good for them.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? If they won the Champions League? Oh, God. Just go in there and stomp them.
It would have been beautiful.
Yeah.
The funniest thing about listening to Schmetzer talking about the match coming up was that he was asking who's available and, you know, talking that through. Bell's close, our injured players are all close, but the question was, will Nuhu be available? And the answer is yes, he should be. That's what he's told me because remember, Nuhu has been late coming back from international play before. He did score his first ever Cameroonian goal.
Oh, really?
In the 54th minute, he, headed the ball, in the 6-yard box, a diving header and put him up 4-1.
I bet that was
the crowd to celebrate.
I bet it was such a Nuhu diving header. Arms were probably out.
It was off a corner. It just bounced up and they kicked it forward and he scored.
Send me the link. I'll put it in the show description along with the MLS article.
Yeah.
And a link to our Patreon and our Discord.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're expecting a loss. What's your expected score?
See, I didn't technically say I expected a loss. I just said I have no confidence in a win. This is the last time I'm going to do it this season. Well, last time I'm going to do it next season or next week, I'll be more, if they lose, I'm going to just be how I actually feel, but I'm going to go for hope here. We figure it out. For some reason, Minnesota seems like a team, and I'm just being completely superficial, like that we can do this too. If you look back 10 years, this would be against Minnesota somehow, just a team. It's like, oh yeah, them. Like, that's when we
new
scored
coach,
four
though.
Goals.
So Adrian Heath gone makes a big difference, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I said superficially. I'm just...
Yeah.
They're soft blue. My family's Minnesotan, so they're just gentle people. Like, okay, let's just...
Too
let's
nice.
Just, I think we can win this one. It's not going to be some, like, angry little brother. So, 3 goals and it's a win. But it could be... I'm not... saying 3-0, they're probably going to score something, but we need to score 3 goals. Otherwise, I'm in pessimist mode for the rest of the season.
I'm going 1-1 draw. We give up a late goal again in injury time.
God, that would just be so meh and totally... Totally probably going to happen based on the way the season's going. Yeah. God, that would just suck. So that'd be worse. No, a loss would just be... A loss would feel like, okay,
it feels worse than a loss because... Yeah. It feels worse than a loss because you had the 3 points and then you blew it.
Yeah, yeah.
Then if we were to lose 2-1 or yeah. something. But I mean, I think, and it's, you know, Schmetzer said that everyone has the right to talk about him being in the hot seat. You know, I would love to see that not be the case. You know, he's obviously very thoughtful about what's going on. He has called upon the team to step up and figure out internally why isn't this working, asking upon leaders to throw out ideas. But they did that before the last game and it didn't work. So, but he's continued to ask them to do that. I think that's a great idea, but why are we just thinking of this now? Or has it been going on? And
wait, Brian Schmetzer's asking his boss how to do his job?
Sure, he should be asking the GM and Adrian how to do his job. They don't. That was one of the major problems.
My employee of like 7 years came up to me and was like, wait, how do I do this again? I'd be like,
that's
what?
Not the question. No. No one's saying, how do I do this again? It's what we're doing isn't working. In
Which
your
is
mind,
soccer.
What do you think we should do to improve? You take in as many opinions as you can. I mean, if you keep trying doing something and it's not working, you need other new ideas. If you're not going to your boss and asking for help, then you should be gone, in my opinion. I think your employees should be trusting in you enough to come up and say, hey, what are your ideas on this? Here's what I'm thinking. Do you think this would work? Do you think I should go a different route? What do you think? I'd love some of your input because you're so knowledgeable.
You're such a nice boss.
I mean, come on. Like the president of the United States, if the president just does everything on their own like Trump does, nothing gets done. You need the smartest people around you to make those decisions for you.
That's assuming presidents do things.
I mean, George W. Bush never did. That's what Cheney was for.
Anyway, Sounders. Cameron says, meh, 1-1. And I, for some reason, am saying we are going to win and we're going to score
right.
3 goals.
I hope you're right.
Otherwise, I'm turning 180.
I mean, if we lose, we're 2 games left. That means we only get – we have if we lose, we have 2 matches left to get to the Ziggy line, and we can't draw those. You have to win at least one of those.
Man, yeah.
It gets bad if we lose. Yeah, it gets real bad.
We're going to have like a special conversation next episode.
I mean, right now,
this match,
if you want to draw out to get there, yeah, you would have to draw the next 3 games in order to meet the Ziggy line with draws. Yeah. So it's got to be wins.
Huh. This will be fun. Ziggy Watch.
Yeah, Ziggy Watch.
In a weird way.
That should be the name of the episode.
Ponderous Ziggy Watch. All right, Sounders. Fucking do something. Let's have some fun shit to talk about next week. Otherwise, just going to talk about F1.
Yeah. Should we start a Mariners. Separate podcast for politics scuttlebutt?
Absolutely fucking not. No. No,
I do think it's way past time for a Mariners scuttlebutt, though, especially with one of the biggest Mariners podcasts disappearing, one of the most popular with some of the best people.
Disappearing.
Space. Yeah, they just one of the scary. 2 co-hosts can't do it anymore, and so the other one doesn't want to do it alone.
Oh, dang.
So Mariners scuttlebutt. The problem with Mariners scuttlebutt is. I live and die by each inning and each game, so it's really hard to fill a baseball season in perspective.
Season? A baseball season? Yep.
I just got the dog.
Dog. Baseball season. We should end the podcast now. Is that
Where
okay with you, Cameron?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, where can they find you?
Oh, Legal Minded Punk on all the social media places and. Occasionally on the Instagram for our show, but usually that's you.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that tonight. Maybe tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you can find me on ZX platform at AARONLINGLEY. And please remember, join our Discord. Scroll right on down. Join the conversation. We've had some like 5 or 6 new people this week. So that's great.
Yeah, great. Welcome, everybody.
Yeah, and thank you, Dan the Bastard, for your scuttlebutt. And
Dan LeBatard. Is he the guy from ESPN?
That'd be fun.
Because that's LeBatard is the bastard.
Yeah.
Because it has an accent circumflex over the A.
Circumflex. Can't wrong.
All right. I mean, I do have a degree in French.
All right.
You know who rules, though? You know who really rules? James Woolard.
Yes, he does. James, take us into port.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.